I got a couple bills I'd like to bring up.
All right. We're going to open the Senate Education Committee for May 12th, and we are going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2670A and call the good sponsor of that bill, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Peter Buckley, representing South Jackson County in the legislature. I appreciate your consideration of this bill. This is a bill that came from a constituent who used to live in Oregon. She and her husband both enlisted in the military. They've had multi-year careers in the military. They would love their kids to be considered as in-state tuition as they come for in-state tuition as they come back to live in Oregon, even though they have not lived here due to their military deployment. So it's pretty much that basic. It got opened up a little bit to add Peace Corps families and other families that do public service. But the basic idea is if an Oregonian family moves out of the state in order to serve, that upon their return or their children's return, they would be considered for in-state tuition. We worked with the universities. They were supportive of the idea. Some of them felt they could just do it, but they also were fine with us putting into statute. So that's the bill in front of you.
Questions?
I like the bill. We aren't talking about a big population anyway, so this isn't a major budget impact, I wouldn't think.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cruz is exactly it. No, you know, maybe a dozen kids, at some point over a few years. So again, just trying to respond to a constituent that a former constituent that wrote.
Unfortunately, we can't move the bill today.
Any other questions from the committee? If not, thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 2670A? Last call. All right. With that, we will close the hearing on House Bill 2670A, and we will open a hearing on House Bill 2847A, and Gretchen will tell us a little bit about that bill before we call anybody up.
Senator Knope, members of the committee, House Bill 2847A requires Aspire programs to provide financial aid instruction to high school students, including the different types of loans available to students attending post-secondary institutions of education, the potential use of individual development accounts, and the economic impact of each type of loan. This bill was voted out of the House Committee on Education with unanimous support. The bill has no prior subsequent referral. The bill has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact. We are considering the -4 amendments at this time. They require that programs make financial aid instruction available to students' families as well.
Is Malia here? Are we waiting for a representative or two?
Well, I saw Representative Johnson on my way down, and it was my understanding that he would be here, but I'm not sure. So would you like to wait for him or
no? Yeah, why don't we go ahead and wait for him?
Okay.
Okay.
He's in committee A.
Yep. So we'll wait for Representative Johnson, and in the meantime, we will also open up a hearing on House Bill 2973A, and Gretchen, why don't you tell us a little bit about that bill as well?
Senator Knope, members of the committee, House Bill 2973A establishes the Affordable Baccalaureate Degree Act. This bill was voted out of the House Committee on Higher Education with unanimous support. The bill has no prior subsequent referral, a minimal fiscal impact, and no revenue impact.
Representative Wisnat, welcome to the Senate Education Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And honorable committee members. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Representative, House District 53. I want to thank you for hearing House Bill 2973A, the Affordable Baccalaureate Degree Act, from your House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. This non-bipartisan bill passed the House with a vote of 29 yeses, and one excused. It was a speaker, but don't tell her this. Affordability 29. Of a college degree has been a subject of numerous hearings in the House and the Senate, I think. It's been one of my legislative goals. I'm still getting feedback. But I've been studying the effects, the efforts by Texas, Florida, and Wisconsin to create $10,000 four-year degrees. After the bill's first hearing in the House, there was interest in the concept, and the committee chair asked that I work to eliminate the specific reference to $10,000. The good representative from Hood River,
yeah.
Representative Mark Johnson, is supposed to join me here, but he'd been working on some affordable college issues also, and he joined me to work on the amendments. And Dana Richardson with the HEC worked with the public universities to amend the bill, and we came up with House Bill 2973 engrossed. 2973A asks public universities, some of who are already working on developing options, to work with community colleges and the HEC to create a fixed cost four-year bachelor's degree a reality in Oregon. This is Representative Johnson. Again, I hope he'll be here. It's part of the Eastern Promise. This committee may have heard about. It's related to that. But House Bill 2973A now states, public universities shall work toward developing and providing four-year baccalaureate degrees or pathways to these degrees that are affordable and offered at a fixed cost that is significantly less than the cost of a traditional baccalaureate degree at the universities. The bill requires the HEC to submit a report describing the analysis conducted to the legislative committees on higher education during the 2016 session of the Legislative Assembly. My hope is the university presidents will present one or more affordable four-year degrees which could be offered to students beginning in the fall of 2017. I urge you to vote to pass this bill to create an affordable college degree. With the legislature this session working on reducing the cost of textbooks and things like this bill, we can really bring down the cost of education and increase college access for many. Thank you very much. Also, I'd like to get off script a minute. When I first brought it out as a $10,000 degree, I was shocked that the next week I had two regional college presidents come to my office and tell me they're working on it. And that's before we eliminated the $10,000 degree. So I think that the bill really does give the universities a challenge to see what they can do and how they could create a degree and a pathway to a degree that's much more affordable than $26,000 a year at the University of Oregon now. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Senator Cruz.
Yeah, because I know you're really connected into higher ed, I was wondering if you could remember, because I've forgotten, who won the NCAA basketball tournament this year? inside joke, we have a Duke-North Carolina thing going on here. So,
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the question, and it's only next basketball season's already begun.
Senator Hass.
Thank you, Representative Whitstep, for pursuing this. I appreciate, and I think you're helping change the attitude and mindset of trying to look at some of the cost drivers as well as the other dynamics in that higher ed equation. And I particularly like the way you're keeping open-minded and accepting amendments. I think that's how we get things passed here. But I do think that going on this side of the equation is much needed, trying to get to those cost drivers and looking at ways wherever we can to, everybody focuses on the loans and what to do with the debts and lowering interest rates. Well, this is a pretty important part of that mathematical equation, too. So I think we need to work on both ends.
Mr. Chair and Senator, thank you very much for those comments. He testified in the House this week, and I think he's helping me because if we can get the first 2 years free, that brings down the cost.
A lot.
We have to work this together.
That's true.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. Good to you were watching. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, it's a great concept. The $10,000 is what's included in that? Is it just tuition and fees?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair and Senator, yes, it's tuition and fees only we're looking at. We've looked up, researched universities. They actually have an agenda how to get there. And some of them are looking, it's a pathway. It may need, you have to come out of high school with 15 units or 30 units out of high school, which is obtainable. Then you go to community college, which is free, and then find a curriculum that for the last 2 years that can bring it down tremendously. Thank you for that question. I appreciate it.
Any other questions of our representative? Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate
and
it.
Representative Johnson was here to speak because he's
yeah, I think he's right out in the hall. I think he has another bill, too.
Thank you very much.
But I don't see him right now, so we have one more person on this bill who signed up. Mario Parker? Yep, there you are. I didn't see you up there. Milligan.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, Vice Chair Canope, and members of the committee. My name is Mario Parker Milligan, Legislative Director with the Oregon Student Association. I wanted to voice our support of this bill. We worked with Representative Wisnett and Johnson and the HEC on those amendments that were talked about earlier. I think this is a great way to look at various options to help bring down the cost for students at universities, and think we strongly believe where this bill has landed is good policy and gives the HEC additional work to look at cost drivers and areas that could increase affordability for many students.
Any questions of this one? None. Thank you very much for being here. Okay. So we've also opened House Bill 2847, and on it we have Malia Messina.
I'm being told that Representative Johnson will be here momentarily.
That's what we were hoping. But we thought you could fill in the space. So it's really appreciative of you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Malia Masiba. I'm currently the Chief of Staff for Representative Katty McEwen, House District 9. Thank you for your time today and allowing me to speak on behalf of House Bill 2847. As some of you may know, the Aspire program is something that is near and dear to Representative McEwen's heart. Regretfully, she's in Washington, D.C. today wearing her transportation hat. So I was unable to be here, but did not want to miss the opportunity to express her support for this bill, so I'm here in her stead. So each year, trained Aspire advisors counsel high school students on post-secondary options. I believe that Representative Johnson will go into more detail on the specifics of 2847, but essentially it specifies that in the course of this advisement, Aspire mentors will provide financial aid instruction to these high school students. And one of the funding pieces that's mentioned in House Bill 2847 is the IDA, or the Individual Development Account. Individual development accounts are matched savings accounts that build financial management skills, something that many, if not all, college-bound teenagers would benefit from. And they were created in 1999 by the Oregon State Legislature, and the IDA is a program that Representative McEwen is especially enthusiastic about sharing with college-bound Oregonians. In addition, Representative McEwen has submitted the proposed -4s, which state that the financial advice given in these advisement sessions between the Aspire mentor and the high school student would also be made available to the students' families. As you're aware, financing a college education is a massive undertaking, and the more conversations that can happen not only with the student but with their family as a whole will increase the student's opportunity to create a successful long-term financing plan. So, Chair Roblin, members of the committee, I can speak firsthand to how invaluable this tutelage is to the high school students who are lucky enough to have access to the Aspire program. So I was happy to be here on behalf of Representative McEwen today to express her full support of House Bill 2847 and the proposed -4 amendments. Thank you.
You're actually quite good.
Caddy's in good hands. Hi, Chair in the committee, Mark Johnson from House District 52. Thanks for hearing this bill today. This has been a cooperative effort between Representative McEwen and myself, and I don't know whether you went into the background, but Representative McEwen actually, I think, worked for OSAC at one period in time and has a lot of experience with handling financial aid applications and trying to help students to make that migration or transition from high school into post-secondary or career and so forth. So she had some good input. My interest in the bill primarily was making sure that at the Aspire program level, and again, I think we have 80 some, 90, there are many and growing across the state of Oregon in high schools. That at every local level that there is some, in addition to just the direction about how to fill out the FAFSA, what might be a good career choice, what might be a good college or post-secondary opportunity. Talk specifically about some of the differences, if you talk about debt and loans, that there are differences in the types of loans. And some loans have very favorable terms involved and some loans may not. So just to engage in some sort of truth in lending type conversations with the students and their families, which is a key component. And I can just tell you from personal experience in our district, in our school in Hood River County, where we have a number of first and family students who are entering into post-secondary. You know, this is a realm that these families haven't considered before. So just because somebody dangles an offer out there saying, you know, here's a quick $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 for you, just sign here. Make sure you check those terms first. And I think those counseling sessions at the local level within the high schools from the Aspire counselors are a good way to make sure that that happens. And it does happen in some, but this just helps to ensure that as a part of their yearly training that I think these Aspire counselors go through, that this is something that it happens. And if Representative McEwen was here, she could tell you it's really easy to implement this by just adding one more slide in the PowerPoint that usually is sent out on a yearly basis so that these instructors, you know, because we change things, obviously, every time we meet, we add new requirements and so forth, so they are constantly updating their materials. So that's what it's about, just making sure we have as full of a comprehensive discussion as possible with new students about good ways to navigate as you go into post-secondary. So the debt you come away with is debt that's good for you and doesn't create undue burdens long-term for the students. So that's it. And then the amendments are actually Rep. McEwen's suggestion to make sure that there's a family connection there as well, which I think you would all agree is a real important component to have. So that's it.
So any questions for these groups? I guess I don't have one. So is the Aspire advisor responsible for the student's debt afterwards? Is there any liability there? Because I was hoping, since my daughter who has debt, was her Aspire person was Katie McEwen.
Complicit?
No, she was Katie McEwen.
Oh,
in,
was
she? At Marshfield High School. And so I was hoping if I could get that all the way back there, I could talk to her about part of that debt.
You might have to have that conversation offline, Chair Rubin.
No, I really appreciate it. I appreciate Aspire. I think it does a really good job. Did you get to advantage yourself to Aspire program?
I was a student at Marshfield High School right as Representative McEwen was starting to help develop this program. And so mm-hmm. I did benefit from these conversations.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, any other questions of this group? I appreciate both of you. Thank you for bringing the bill. We'll look at the amendments. Oh, and you wanted to talk about 2973 as well, correct?
Is that Rep. Wisnitz bill?
It is.
It is. Still is.
Well, we would love to have your thoughts on that since both of those were
Well, okay. We're in again, Mark Johnson, House District 52. It's been interesting to me to see how that bill has progressed this session because I worked on an almost identical bill in February of last year that my staff and I put a great deal of time into, but it had a little different focus, but again, not a 10K BA to put a dollar figure on it, but a reduced cost four-year degree. And our bill actually focused on the TRUES or the regional universities as the purveyors of that because we just felt it a little easier to work with the smaller universities, a little more nimble in sorts of being able to modify programs or come up with programs and stuff. And we had their support. February is sometimes things happen. It ended up in Ways and Means and stopped there. But this session, Rep. Wisnett has jumped on board. I got on board with him at our higher ed committee. We're on the House side, and there's been kind of nary a discouraging word this time. The bill has kind of gone through.
Who knows?
Yes, who knows? But my point is, I'm glad it is. But the component in the bill that I think is really helpful and that we continue to think is valuable on these reduced cost BAs is that they are focused in an area where there's an economic need for that sort of degree pathway. And to give the universities the flexibility to design these reduced cost areas, again, something that's linked to their regional economy, what's needful, what could be a good high school to career type pathway and so forth within a degree. So I'm excited about the possibility. And then the universities, as they begin to think about this, particularly we've had great conversations with the folks out at Eastern, who have some real definite ideas on something related to their economy out there in that part of the state that could be very helpful. So it's a great opportunity. Again, we've got good support, I think, at the university level on this. They've been very supportive. I think the HEC will play a great role in working with them to put together these proposals and stuff. So I'm excited about what this could be.
Any questions? Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Appreciate your patience.
So, is there anyone that would like to speak to 2973A that didn't get a chance before to speak to that? If not, we will close our hearing on 2973A. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to 2847A? Do we have anybody else up there? No. Then we will close our public hearing on 2847A. And finally, is there anyone who would like to speak to 26? Pardon? We're close to it. Good job. Okay, so that takes care of our hearings. Okay. So we're going to open a work session on 2412A. And Vicki, you want to come up and give us some explanation on some of the amendments? I think it's the dash sixes.
Which number?
2412.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, Vicki Chamberlain, Director of Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. So at the hearing on the bill, we talked about the dash fives, which included the dyslexia changes. And between coming from the House to over here, we found two actual errors. One was repeat language, and one was accidentally cutting out the word private in the composition of the commission. So two of the amendments take care of that. It removes duplicate language that was in statute. And I gave some late testimony to Gretchen, and I summarized the dash sixes on the very last page. So we moved language that we found out was redundant and didn't need to be there and had been accidentally overlooked. And then legislative council wanted some harmonizing language so that we can change teacher prep to educator preparation throughout the statutes. It's an old term. So in reality, the universities prepare school counselors, administrators, and teachers, and that will allow them to go through and reconcile all the statutes.
Any questions about those? I thank you for catching those things. Sometimes you have to come back another year to write a deal that corrects one little thing, and catching it sooner is better. Yes. Any other questions about the amendments? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion. And those are on OLIS if people want to know. Representative Canope. Senator Canope, I was over in the other building a second ago.
It's all right. Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the dash six amendments as presented.
Senator Canope moves to adopt the dash six amendments as presented. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Any opposition? Seeing none. So moved. Senator Canoe.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 2412A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Canoe moves House Bill 2412A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? It is passed for one excuse in Senator Bert Sugar. Okay. And we have to assign a carrier. Anybody want to carry this bill? If not, I would be glad to. And we'll close our hearing on 2412A. And we're ready for this one.
Well,
ready for this one. So we're going to open a work session on House Bill 3045. And I had some questions, and I followed up, and I just want to bring this up, with ODE, because this bill basically says if school districts don't have to collect the money, they don't have to send it back and forth. ODE doesn't have other districts, so if they don't get some of their money passed right, they could lose some money here. So I need to talk to David Williams. So I just want to give you an understanding that I like the bill. I think it's a good idea. We've got other people. We've talked to people about some amendments that I'm not planning on working with, but I need to talk with David with regard to how this affects the State Department of Education as opposed to everybody else, which I think we're all good about. So I'm going to carry this over for one session until next Thursday so that we can have that conversation.
So it's David's fault?
No, it's not David's fault at all. He did everything that was right.
But we could blame him if we want.
Oh, yes. And he understands that, recognizes that, and accepts that responsibility from time to time. But when the reason that they were doing it is that it really they send a check, and it's passing a check that comes from another school district. That doesn't happen when you're not another school district. And so there are people that were concerned about that. We checked, and they said that it could, along with other bills we've passed, cause an issue. And so considering all those things, we will have a conversation, come back with you if we need to change anything. So with that, we'll close our work session on House Bill 3045, and we will move it to the next to Thursday. House Bill 3069A, our legal counsel came up with a concern about this bill. We need an amendment to write some conflicting, starts clarifying some conflicting information between this and another bill, so they needed a amendment to put in this bill. So we will be moving 3069A to 21st, I think. With that, okay, so now we're going to open a work session on 3335, and we'll have a short explanation, and then we'll go from there.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3335A requires the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to work with public universities to develop effective solutions to the problem of students who enroll at a public university, complete two or more years of coursework, and then leave the university without graduating or receiving official recognition. This bill was voted out of the House Committee on Higher Education 8-1. The bill does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The bill has no amendments at this time. A fiscal impact has been issued. It's at approximately $58,000 for the 2015 to 2017 biennium, and the bill has no revenue impact.
So with that, again, I think this is one of those bills. It's kind of like the one you carried today. This is something they should be working on to look at those kinds of things. We need to make sure that at Ways and Means we send them all that way if they're over $50,000. It's right on the edge. I think they would like to look at it. We'll make a decision after it gets to Ways and Means. So with that.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3335A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Pardon me? Did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
We were just saying the same thing, Mr. Yeah. Chair. Do we need state laws for these things?
Right.
So this one is a work group to have that conversation, and I understand, and that's why this will go to Ways and Means, and we'll have that further conversation about whether that is money that needs to be spent. So,
it's slightly different, but it's still the same thing. So,
Senator Knope moves House Bill 3335A to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any conversation about that? Any discussion? Any opposition to having this sent down to Ways and Means? Seeing none? It is passed. Senator Bert Sugar is absent, excused. Okay. So we're ready on this one, too. We're going to make sure I close the work session on 3335A. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 3375A. Again, short explanation and
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3375A revises and renames the Minority Teacher Act of 1991. The bill was voted out of the House Committee on Education with unanimous support of those present. The bill has no prior subsequent referral, no amendments at this time, a minimal fiscal impact, and no revenue impact.
Senator Knope.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3375A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves House Bill 3375A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Bill passes. Recognize Senator Bert Sugar is excused. Anyone wish to carry this bill?
I will.
Okay. Senator Cruz will carry. And with that, we will close our work session on House Bill 3375A. Any other discussion to come before our committee? I appreciate your comments before, because I have had some issues, and I need to keep thinking about that with regard to some of this. I think there are things that hopefully, as we work through some of our other bills, I think the heck kind of the conversation we've been having with the OEIB, maybe we can focus on some of these things and have them be taken care of in course.
Some of these issues, Mr. Chair, may come up.
Just finished, yeah.
As we meet.
We did.
So. I agree with that. So.
Didn't really miss anything. We just voted on
that. Senator Bearsugar, would you like to vote on any of these?
Sure. Yes, we could do that.
Okay.
Want to go through them real?
We can. So remind me which one. So first one would be
2412.
We're going to reopen.
412.
Well, actually, before we do that, we're going to say, is there any objection to Senator Bearsugar?
I don't know.
So with that, we're going to open 2412. Senator Bearsugar, how do you vote?
Yes.
He votes yes. So we'll close 2412. And we will open 3335A. Senator Bearsugar, how do you vote? Okay, I'm relaxed.
Yes.
Bearsugar votes yes. We'll close the public hearing on 3335.
That's it.
What's the next one?
That's it.
3375A. We're going to open that one. Senator Bearsugar, how do you vote? This changes the.
Yeah. Yes.
Senator Bearsugar votes yes. And we'll close 3375. That's it.
That's it. Thank you, Chair Roblin.
Well, you should really thank our members who chose to not object. And with that,
it was close.
It was we will close our Senate hearing, education hearing today. Thank you all. Hearing today. Thank you all. Education.